135, and I'm going to read the entirety of the 135th Psalm tonight because we're going to finish with something peculiar. And so 135th Psalm, let's pray together. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that you would help me to be clear in the explanation of this passage and that you would be glorified in the learning of your word, and that I will say only those things that bring you glory, and that you would have your people eat well this evening and be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is from the 135th Psalm. Here goes, praise the Lord. That is one word in Hebrew. It's hallelujah, and it means you praise the Lord. It's second person plural. You bring praise to basically hallelujah, and so this is one of four names for God in this psalm. The word Lord in the English is the Hebrew word Yah, which is probably a shortened form of Jehovah or Yehovah, but it's the first of four names. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, that's Jehovah. Praise him, O ye saints of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it's pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Now, if you're wondering who Jacob is, in the Old Testament, especially when you have poems like this, the second line defines the first or explains the first. It's called parallelism. And so Israel is another name for Jacob. Chosen for himself is another way of saying his special treasure. So, verse 5. I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage, a heritage to Israel, his people. And then, for the only time in the whole psalm, he addresses God specifically. God goes from being third person to second person. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. And then it goes back to referring to God in the third person for the rest of the psalm. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord. Now that word bless is a word that means kneel before. Kneel before the Lord, or bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. That's your priests. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Those are the people that help the priests. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord. All right, friends, so you'll notice here that we've got, this is usually called a captivity psalm, and that's kind of trivial, but 135, 136, and 137 seem to go together. 134 is the last of the Psalm of the Ascents. Usually, the Psalm of the Ascents were sung on the way to the holy city, Jerusalem. 135 is probably the calling out of the king to the people in the temple. That's a good guess. One commentator about 300 or 400 years ago says, we do not know why this was written, and we're not sure exactly who wrote it. So that's super helpful, isn't it? We don't know when it was written. We don't know why it was written. But what we do know, and some things that should stand out to us, are the fact that in this passage, you have God being addressed only directly in verse 13. It's really strange. He's talking to people about God, and then he talks to God about God, and then he goes back to talking to people about God. So apparently it's okay in the middle of a song for the person who writes it to get carried away, lose their mind, and address God specifically. And I love it. And that is inspired scripture. There's, like we said, four names for God in this psalm. We have Yah in verses 1, and in the end of verse 21, we have Jehovah, Yehovah. That's all the times that the word Lord is in all caps. Now, the times where the Lord is not in all caps, when it's just capital L and a lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d, I had one of those. In verse 5, you'll notice that both of them are found in verse 5. I know that the Lord, all caps, is great, and our Lord, and only thing that's capitalized there is the L. Those are two different Hebrew words. When it's all caps, it's Jehovah. When it's just capital L, it's another word, Adonai, which means boss, master. And then, of course, there's the really frequent name for God, and that is found, and that is the word Elohim. Let me see here. That's in verse number 2, at the end of the verse, in the courts of the house of our God. So four different ways the Lord is addressed in this psalm. One time he is spoken to directly, verse 13. What I found to be interesting was that you're supposed to, and I'm supposed to praise the Lord, no matter if you're just a commoner in the house of Israel, or if you are a priest, verse 19, or if you are a Levite who helps a priest, you're supposed to find the wherewithal within you to praise the Lord. Okay, now why? It doesn't have a whole lot of drive in us, a whole lot of power, for us to simply praise him because we're told to. We could do that, and certainly he is worthy. But I think you know the difference between praising the Lord because you want to and praising the Lord because you're being told to. If you're not sure how this works, the next time you're not thankful for a present, young people, and your mother says, say thank you, just see how that works for you. It has a different feel to it. It's a lot like saying sorry when you don't really feel sorrow. You'll say it, but you're really just getting mom and dad happy. In the same way, when we praise the Lord, there has to be some kind of inward thrust, something that says, God, I love you. Praise to you. I'm not worthy of this, and I give you thanks. In this psalm, we're not left up to what that is. Can you help me identify what the psalmist sees and what he names in this psalm? There's a lot of them. Let's narrow it down to history. If we're supposed to praise him in the present, what things has he done in the past that allows us to praise him in the present? All right, here, verse 8. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. What do we call that? Sure, the plagues were used, but what, the 10th plague, which is called the what? The Passover. Thank you. So we get that. That's not when Israel became a nation, but that's when they were recognized as a nation. There's hundreds of thousands of them coming out like a big horde out of a nation. It makes sense that this is a big deal. They were delivered by captors that had them for hundreds of years. This makes a lot of sense. You all remember back there, even if this was written by David, let's just say that it was, that by itself is 450 years later. They're supposed to look back 450 years and still stand amazed at what God did to give their nation independence. Now think through that. It has been just roughly more than half of that for us, if we're talking about being thankful for America. But if we're talking about being thankful for the day that we became Christians, or for the day when the Lord saved us, or for the day when he purchased our independence from sin and Satan on the cross, well, dear friends, that is like someone saying, remember when Christ, the Lamb of God, spilled his blood for our freedom. That's the first thing, and that makes sense, because that happened when we were yanked out of Egypt. What's the other event? Very good. When he conquered the nations in verse 10, and he gives two nations specifically, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Now, I'm telling you, I know a lot of the stories, and you do too, because for the last 3 years this month, other than the breaks we took for James and 1 Timothy on Sunday mornings, we've been in Moses' writings. We can remember the Amalekite battle in Exodus 17 when Aaron and Hur had to hold up Moses' hands. We can remember the battle of the Midianites and in response to what they did in the camp of the Israelites, and Phinehas put a javelin through them, and then they finally killed the rest of the nation. We remember those stories. We remember the one 2 weeks ago when they defeated that king that came down and messed with them and dipped, and they said, "Lord, if you give us another chance here, we'll do it over." We remember a lot of things: the feeding of the manna, the feeding of the quail, the moving of the cloud. Help me with some other things that would be considered miraculous. The splitting of the, what'd you say? Of the rock? Water coming out of the rock, right? The splitting of the Red Sea. Fire by night. The bitter water turns sweet, yes. So there's a lot of stuff to pick. Why did he pick this one? Verses 10 and 11. That's it, right? I mean, look at it. You have two things from history of the nation: the time they were yanked out of Egypt and the time that they defeated these two nations. Now, that's coming from Numbers 21, and you heard about that on October the 15th, both morning and evening. It was Sihon in the morning, Og, king of Bashan, in the evening. It was Pastor Jordan in the morning, Pastor Randy in the evening, who spoke to us about that. What is it about those guys? Why would you name the Passover when there's death in every Egyptian household, and then these guys? Tell me something about these guys. Okay. What do you mean? Sure. Why were they mighty? What was specific about them? They were giants, weren't they? He picks the giants, the kings. How long was Og's bed? Like 13 or 14 feet? That counts as long. I mean, that means that if you pop him on a Sealy Posturepedic, his kneecaps will be on the footboard. I mean, that is a big dude. All right? So what is it about this particular psalm that exhorts people to lift their hands, kneel before the Lord, shout praises to Yah? What is it exactly about giants being rescued from a nation and giants? What is it that would make the psalmist only mention that? What is it? Shows his power in what way, brother? That's right. What were you saying, Leah? Yeah, very good. So, I mean, when the Lord says, "You're mine," like he does in verse number 12, "They're my heritage, these people are mine," then he takes responsibility for us. When he owns us, that means he owns our welfare, right? So, if he can crush giants, well, then what can't he do? And I think that's supposed to be a sign to the people who are reading this, that if he can smack down 13-foot tall people, then everyone else is a gimme. So in one hand, you have him coming out of Canaan, and in the other hand, you have Og and Bashan, who are the first of the Canaanite foes. So as he brings you out of one thing, and as he brings you into another thing. Yes? Did you catch what I just said? If you didn't, shake your head. So as you're brought out of Egypt, that is being rescued from something. And as he brings you to Og and Bashan, they're the first and they're the biggest. They're the first of the Canaanite kings and they're the biggest of the Canaanite kings. And what is being expressed here is that as the Lord brings you out of some terrible stuff, and as he brings you into some stuff that is really large, well, he's done it before. It's not like that these kings in front of you as you're conquering Canaan, it's not as if in the coming year you're going to be facing stuff that you could handle, but that shouldn't surprise you because the stuff that we faced in 2023, we couldn't handle either. But here he did bring us out of it. And that causes people to be grateful because if the Lord can say, suffer for us, die for our sins, we believe in an empty tomb, right? And if we believe in an empty tomb, well, then that means that he's done the hard work. He's crushed the giants. And that is why we find, let's see, if I die, that doesn't really, I mean, that's not a terrible thing. If I lose everything here, but I have the riches in Christ, that's not a terrible thing. The Og and the Bashan have been crushed. And that allows me to be grateful. Now, again, this is a pattern. Notice Psalm 136. Notice in verse number 10. Now, notice in verse number 10, he mentions the Passover again. Do you see that? Okay, I hear a few of you. Help me out now. So 136 verse 10, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. And then you notice, brought Israel out from among them, verse 11. Then you'll notice, divided the Red Sea, verse 13. So kind of see that as one thing. Brought you out of Egypt, which ended with getting you over the Red Sea. And then notice, what is the next historical thing he mentions in this passage? After the Red Sea, because they're leaving Egypt with that, what is it? Verse 18, 19, and 20. The same two guys. Two psalms in a row. He references two things of history to encourage people to sing. The Passover, bringing them out of a terrible period of bondage, and these two giants on their way to receiving God's blessing. Both psalms, he mentions only these two historical facts. Isn't that strange? We read past them in Numbers, and that's kind of like, but they were huge. It was a big deal. And I'm not speaking punny, although it is a pun. These were big guys. So as we close, I think that it would be good for us to read antiphonally. What in the world does that mean? Yeah, that's right. Back and forth. Antiphono or antiphonally. Anti means against, and phono or phone means sound. So you'll notice in Psalm 136, now this will only work if you have a Bible that reads like mine. So if you need help with that, if you don't have a New King James, please look at page what? Yes, you do, Brylan. What is the page number? Psalm 136. 759. If you need a New King James Bible, there's one in front of you. And we're going to read this together. So, this is a lot like advertising an event. If you don't listen, you're going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. We'll all laugh the first time, and then it'll be embarrassing. So, please hear what we're about to do. Who over here would be willing to read? I need one person over here that's willing to read. All right? I'm willing to use you, Andy, and I'm willing to... Darren, I don't think we've heard from you yet tonight. So Darren, what I want you to do is read verse 1 and then every third verse after that. 1, 4, 7, 10, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to read the first phrase and I'm going to lead everyone else in responding with, for his mercy endures forever. Do you see how at the end of every verse it ends with, for his mercy endures forever? Now, if you brought in your favorite version, I'm not upset. But if you read something differently, you can see how that's going to make this very interesting. So for his mercy endures forever is what we're going to respond with. Everyone will respond with me to what Darren reads. Who in the center section? Ah, good. Joey Seeley is going to read. You, brother, are going to read verse 2 and every third verse after that. So that would be 2, 5, 8, and so on. But just the first phrase, because me and everyone with me is going to respond with, for his mercy endures forever. and you're going to read with gusto. Who over here in the right section would like to read? Is that Noah back there? Yes, Noah, you're going to read, but you got to read with your dad's voice, man, with gusto. So you're going to read verse 3 and every third verse after that, but just the first phrase. So Noah, what I mean is your third verse is going to be, oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, and then you're going to stop, and everyone's going to respond with me, for his mercy endures forever. All right, so have we got this?
Yes.
Let's work through this for just a minute. We're going to go from Darren to Joey to Noah. Darren, Joey, Noah. Darren, Joey, Noah. Okay? And your one job, friends, is to just reply with me. And so I think we can do this. It's a great way to end the service. Are you ready? All right. Here we go, Darren. Starting with verse 1. So, Darren, here's what's going to happen, brother. You're making me nervous. You're going to read, then Joey, then Noah, then back to you. All right, here we go.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of God.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
To him who made great lights.
For his mercy endures forever.
The sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
Him who struck Egypt and their firstborn.
For his mercy endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his mercy endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
Heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowly state.
For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his mercy endures forever. Amen. Mercy there is the covenantal love of God, chesed. It's a beautiful word, and it means that we have it because we're his people. Diane, thanks for being patient with me. I think we're done singing for this evening. Will you stand with me? And we want to give thanks to God specifically for a particular verse who gave us, who remembered us in our lowly state.